hello, we're back. Yes, it's the bitter end with me, Todd Jordan.
Am I Tom Denny?
It's been a while. You look so different, Tom. You look changed.
Oh my God. What's been going on?
Well, as you may know if you listened to our last update, the Mupdate, if you will.
I will.
Since we've been taking this time off, my good pal Tommy Tickles has produced a tiny human person.
I know. It's awesome. And she takes up a lot of time.
How much time does she take up?
Like, all that time that we would be doing podcasts is that was the first thing to go. But we've managed to find a bit of time. We're coming back, people, for like a new season. It's season... I don't know what the season was that we did last.
It's season 9, Tom. The last season we did was Home Alone, the Christmas season. And it's Christmas time right now. So it's as if you blink your eyes just right, it's as if nothing has changed.
Yeah, yeah. Apart from everyone's got like these deep, craggy lines in their face.
Or is that just you?
It's just me. So, Todd, a new season.
Well, listen, gang, because there's been a lot of changes in life, and one of the few things that's going to be changing is we're probably not going to be able to do this podcast weekly. You know, we got to steal that dad time from Tom when we can, here and there. Catch as catch can, you know. He's a go-go jet setter. He's a funky, fresh dad guy now.
Yeah.
We're aiming for monthly.
That's what we're going for.
Rather than weekly, right?
And so, eventually this will become completely arbitrary after a few episodes have come out. So depending on when you come to this, it may mean something to you, it may not. The important thing is we're back and we hope that you're back and glad that everyone's back. So, Todd, let's watch some fucking films. What's it going to be?
We thought we'd do a slightly shorter season, so we're going for Jaws.
Yeah! Sharky action.
Yep, I understand that there are four of these big bad lands. There is Jaws.
Yep.
There is Jaws 2. There is Jaws 3. And then I think there is Jaws the Revenge, right?
Yeah, Jaws the Revenge. First one that we're going to watch today, because we're traditionalists like that. We like to watch things in order to the bitter end. From 1975, directed by a little Mr. Steven Spielberg.
I have heard of him. Or his non-union Mexican equivalents.
Yeah.
And you're still Spielberg.
He's a hat enthusiast, I'm aware. And
he probably has other characteristics.
I couldn't tell you any of them. I've seen this film. Have you seen this film?
I have. It's a bit of a cultural blind spot for me, I must admit, Thomas. I've definitely seen Jaws. Definitely once, maybe more. It's not that I didn't like it, just almost none of it stuck in my mind.
Yeah, I think I've seen all of the Jaws films, at least like bits. Like, it's one of those things where it would be a film that was probably on around Christmas and you'd watch a bit of it. And I just remember like Jaws being kind of a thing when, you know, when I was younger, that it was just like, I don't know, it was like one of those franchises. People like, oh, Jaws is on. Well, we've all got to sit round and watch Jaws as a family. The appropriateness of that will maybe be a little bit less, be a bit murky when we, you know, because basically we watch the trailer. It's basically a slasher film with a fish.
It's a big fishy slasher film, man. So, yeah, there's a lot of people going, big shark going to get you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bigger than other fish.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a shark.
You know what's
big?
Mate, top 10 worst fish ever. Number one, sharks. You know what you got out there? Big one.
Big one.
Big shark.
It's not just a shark, it's big.
It's so, and Jason Voorhees of the aquatic world.
I think this is one of the reasons why I never quite connected with Jaws as a youth. Because I failed to find it scary because there is such an easy solution, which is just literally don't go in the water. Like, me and Tom live right by the sea, here where we live. I almost never go in the water. There's almost, or when I do, it's purely voluntary. There's so few situations where I absolutely have to.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever really come up where I've had to go in the water. It's very hard to end up in the sea by accident, but I feel that maybe there might be some, you know, some machinations going on as to why people, they have to go in the water. They've got to.
I'm assuming after four movies, they're going to run out of reasons why.
Yeah, so this is the thing. I remember, like, you know, like the first one, I think, is still, it's Spielberg, so it's quite a well thought of film, even though, even like watching this in like the 80s, like, you know, like this was released in 75, like the shark effect dated like rapidly, like so quickly, but we're still kind of like, oh, Jaws, that's a good film, we'll watch Jaws. And then the legacy of 2 to the Revenge is... shit, innit?
Well, I can't wait.
So I'm and looking forward. I know that the fourth one has one of Todd's favourite actors of all time in it.
Shut your damn mouth, Tom.
A little Mr. Michael Caine.
He's made one good film, Muppet's Christmas Carol, nothing else.
But what a film. One film.
What a film. But I mean, this one even, it's got Beardy Dreyfuss in it.
Yeah.
I love Beardy Dreyfuss. So much better than his older brother, Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, Beardy Dreyfuss is definitely the best
of
them.
Is it Roy Schneider, a man I've only ever seen in this film and nothing else?
Yeah, the father of Rob Schneider, possibly. Who knows? I'm not going to Google it.
And he utters that very, very famous line, which even I know really well. Your boat isn't big enough. It's in the trailer. He looks right in the camera, says to Beardy Dreyfuss, your boat isn't big enough.
Yeah.
Love that line.
Yeah, and then was followed up by going to like the boat shop and like, do you have a bigger boat? Do you?
Do you have a bigger boat? Such an iconic line.
Yeah, and then there's that bit where Joey Tribbiani comes in or someone is like, could this be a bigger boat? Chandler Bing? I don't fucking know. It's Friends. It's a completely different thing. It's completely unrelated, Todd. For God's sake, stay on message. We're doing the IMDb guessing game.
Hooray! I love that game.
Okay, Todd.
Oh my God.
So, the 1975 movie, Jaws, directed by Senior Spielbergo. What do you think? What do you think? This is based on a book as well, by the way. This comes from literature, the book by Peter Benchley.
Straight away, I've got such warmth for the man.
Yep.
Just from, like, seeing his name on, like, the cover of a book with, like, a big fin or, like, a splash of blood on the water on
big
it.
Big shark enthusiast.
My dad would always have a Peter Benchley book.
Oh, really?
And we would sit side by side, like, on our loungers, and I would read Stephen King and my dad would read Peter Benchley.
So, what do you think?
There's no way this film isn't going to be ridiculously highly rated on IMDb. Like, I don't want to come across as saying I think it's overrated, because I'm sure I'm going to love it. It's just that it never lodged itself in my brain. Mm-hmm. I don't have a bad thing to say about it. There's definitely people on the internet that are gonna somehow.
Yeah.
I'm going 8.6.
You're in the right ballpark. It is an 8. On the nose, which is where you should punch a shark if it tries to attack you. That's what people say.
Jacques Cousteau!
Sock that sucker on the nose. Anyway, an 8... That is a strong start. We can only go down from here, one would wager, unless Mr. Caine can really pull something out of the bag for that last one.
Tom, should we dive into the water?
Splish splash. Deliciously sharky, I'm sure you'll agree.
Let me tell you what, that was one bad fish.
It was a bad fish. It got what it had coming to it.
Exploded it, didn't they?
Fucking did. Spoilers, the fish dies and it goes kaboom. You don't need to watch a 2-hour film.
Can we address the fact that this film is 2 hours?
Yeah, half the film is them on a boat trying to get that fish.
So straight off the bat, I'm coming in hot, I'm coming in hard. Not a bad film at all.
No, I enjoyed it.
Too long. I remember almost nothing of the film from when I'd seen it before. I definitely had seen it before, remembered almost nothing. And all of that stuff at the start, you got Brody worrying about the people on the beach and all of this, and the mayor's being a bellend, and the mayor wants everybody to die, apparently, all of that. I was hooked. I'm all about it. Super into it. And then about 45 to 50 minutes in, they all get on this boat, and then nothing of interest happens for the remainder of the film.
Yeah, well, it's like, I don't know, yeah, like it's a game of two halves. Like, the pacing in the first half of the film is breakneck, and then it becomes like this real tense, slow builder. I know what you mean. Like, it feels can feel a little bit flat in places. It then becomes like, you know, just like a play on a boat with three weird men.
And weird men they are, Tom.
But we should, we'll get to these weird men. Shall we start from the top?
Yes.
The beginning, if you will.
The denouement. That's not the beginning.
That's the end, isn't
it? That's the end, I think, yeah.
Just a sidebar here. Just for the listeners at home, you may hear ghostly coughing in the background. If you do, that is my daughter coughing on the baby monitor. She's fine. She's just got a little cough, and it just might pop in every now and then. Anyway, back to the sharky fun with my friend Todd Jordan.
Hi, happy to be here. So we kick off the movie basically with the scene from Friday the 13th goes to the beach.
Yeah, kinda. Like, there's a bunch of teens, like having like a rowdy hippie campfire party. And there's this guy who's just downed a beer and he's given this girl like the eye and she's given him the eye. And then they're like, right, they go running off over the sand dunes. They have not spoken.
They don't even run together. Yeah. She just starts running away from him as if he is trying to murder her. And he's like, oh, I'm in here.
Yeah. But then she's kind of like, hey, should we go and like take all of our clothes off and get in the water? And he's like, yeah, do you want to like slow down? She's like, nah, I'm going to run on. And it's just kind of like instant slasher movie morals going on. It's kind of like, well, she's agreed to get naked with this young man, so I mean, she's fucked.
She's fucked. He's fine because he passes out drunk on the beach.
She goes skinny dipping in the water. She gets got, and like this is like a minute and a half into the film, we get our first sharky kill, and it's kind of a mixture of like. Some bits of the shark attacks in this are pretty grueling and gnarly, but then also this first one feels just a little bit silly.
Silly is right. I just couldn't stop thinking the whole time about how hard it must be to be an actor in water, acting that something is pulling you under.
I imagine you just had like some like grip or something like that who's working on the film, who's just underwater just yanking on her every now and then.
Yeah,
who's wearing like lead boots or something. But like when the shark attack kind of starts, it's like it's almost like this young girl is like sliding on the ice, but underwater she's kind of going whoa! Like side to side on the screen, and you're like, if she's doing that, then the shark is obviously like bitten into her leg, and it doesn't seem like, it seems like she's frightened, but she's like hasn't been like not going like, oh fuck, there's giant teeth in me. And you're kind of like, well, this is a bit weird and a bit silly. And then it suddenly goes dark and she's suddenly like, oh, and then it's like, oh, that poor girl.
Yeah, and I did really like the way this was cut. She's like screaming, splashing, and there's just so much like noise and chaos. And then the point is that she goes under for the final time. And within like half a second, like everything is calm and quiet.
Mm.
And then it just cuts to like the would-be erstwhile douchebag boyfriend just passed out on the beach, unaware of anything.
There's in this like there's some great editing and like use of sound in this film. Like, and you know, you use the word chaos. It's very chaotic, like the beach stuff. They're throwing shit at you and they're doing all these wild like fast cuts and showing you this and showing you that, and showing you the life of the town and like offsetting like the tension that's going on with Sheriff Brody, who's played by
Rob Schneider's father. Roy Schneider.
Schneider Senior. And then just like the kind of like the comical yokel-esque people that live in the town of Amity or the island of Amity. It's like they're on an island.
Honestly, everywhere that Chief Brody goes, he's just trying to cop about. He's just trying to be a cop. And, like,
and he's a new cop on the beat. Importantly, he's come from New York with his family to work on Amity, so he can, like, New York's too big a place to, like, make a name as a cop. So it's like, Amity is small, I can really do some good, he thinks. But he also doesn't like the sea, and he's on an island.
Yeah, so he's an idiot, and he deserves everything he
gets.
Yeah. But wherever he goes, everybody wants a piece of him, and they all have the loudest voices of anybody on. His like assistant at the police precinct is this quite sweet old woman who just screams every single element of her conversation, and she's just like, there are some kids and they've been doing karate on people's fences. Oh my god. And then he goes outside and everyone's like yelling at him in this weird like Amityville Island accent, which is just like involves going,
I feel like this film as a whole, just like, is it possible for a film to be drunk? Because it feels like this film gets progressively more and more drunk as it goes on, because all the characters just become less and less intelligible as the film goes on. Everyone just goes, derp, 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 derp,
But also, that's garbled. That's a very apt analogy, because it also starts out being very fun-loving and boisterous with a lot of like fast-moving action and dancing and, hey, look at me, we're going to have these girls. And then moves into a very mournful, plaintive, introspective downer phase towards the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just as unintelligible, but it's just down to like the last few characters at the party and they're alone on this boat just going, oh, God.
Yeah, we're all going to die here, aren't we? yeah, so Sheriff Brody, like, instantly, like, they fight, hit, like, this this young girl's been killed. The coroner comes back, says it's a shark attack, and then Sheriff Brody, being a sensible man, is instantly like, right, we've got to close down the beaches, and he's moving very quickly. He's going to go and do that, and then, like, the mayor, the town selectman, like, the evil cabal of people who, like, you know, like, run the town, run the island, kind of like, no, we're not going to do that, because we rely on money from summer tourism. If you shut the beaches down, then the town is dead.
Because it's the weekend of their 50th regatta. Now, Tom, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
The fuck is a regatta?
I think a regatta is kind of like a boat show, and there was no boat show.
Hell no, there was no boat show.
There was no boat show. They did not have the money for that boat show in the production. But so like this becomes the battle of the first half is Brody trying to do the right thing, be a good cop, protect the people, versus the town council being like, we've got to keep the beaches open no matter what, and they're just like coming up with all these idea reasons why, like, ah, it could have been like a boat accident, nobody died. Like, the second death of the film is, I mean, it's pretty savage.
This whole bit is amazing. Like, the build-up. So Brody's on the beach. He's like, he wanted it to be closed, but he wasn't allowed. And there's this whole big sort of like Hitchcockian like suspense build-up where everybody keeps trying to get in the way of him, like, watching the water. And there's, like, a girl screaming. And he's like, what the fuck is that? And then it's just her boyfriend mucking around. And then, like, this guy, like, stands right in his eyeline. And he's like, hey, I want to talk to you about, like, zoning regulations. And he's trying to look around him. And then, like, this old naked man with, like, a weird swimming cap comes up. And it's all really tense.
And there's all these people in the water, and he's looking around, and you're thinking, like, well, who's going to die? Is it going to be that old lady? Is it going to be the young couple over there? Is it going to be the guy with his dog? Is it going to be the young kid on the Lilo? And the thing that, like, is kind of, I just don't think if this film was made now, it wouldn't happen. Like, it wouldn't happen. But, like, the one that dies is a fucking kid on a Lilo.
And he doesn't
that
just
kid
die.
Would get away nowadays. But, like, you know, and it's fucking savage.
There's, like, a fire hose of blood that shoots up out of the water. I wrote down in my notebook, rad spurts.
Yeah. And it is rad spurts. I mean, the thing about that, like, because it's so, like, savage, you see the, like, kind of like a little glimpse of the mouth of the shark, and then this eruption of blood, and this, like, small child die. And it's like, wow, that's savage. Very different from the shark attack that you've just seen about 10 minutes earlier, where the girl was, like, basically slight, going, whoa, whoa, whoa. But I guess, you know, you need to build up to this kind of shit. And, like, loads of people see this death, and yet still, like, the town, like, people are kind of like, oh, no, we're not gonna... Oh, no, what happens is the mum of the kid puts out a bounty on the shark.
Yeah.
And then all the fucking idiots from all around go, like, go on a shark hunt. It's kind of awesome.
It's a $3,000 bounty, and it's got a very specific wording on it. It's $3,000 for the man or men that catch the shark.
Women need not apply.
So I was, like, reading it, and I was like, for the man or, okay, I know what word is coming next, men. Huh. Not what I expected. they're having this meeting, and then, like, the mayor is like, okay, so who's got questions about this shark attack? And one, like, wise ass guy who seems to be on the town council is like, yeah, I've got a question. Is the bounty on cash or check?
A child died, you scumbag.
A child died. Also, that's not a joke.
Yeah, it's just like, that's just cruel, man. That guy must have been so excited when the internet was invented. He'd be like, ha ha, somewhere to vent my horror. Also in this town meeting, we get introduced to Quint. Now, Quint is the stereotypical gnarly sea dog who's, like, sat there, like, he introduces himself to everybody by running his fingers down a blackboard that he's, while this meeting has been going on, he's obviously been stood behind everybody drawing a big picture of a shark eating somebody, which I think is really cute that he kind of came in and is like, how will I make my point? Ah, well, there's a blackboard here. I'd better draw a big picture of a scary shark.
You all know me. Know how I earn a living. I'll catch this bird for you, but it ain't gonna be easy. It's bad fish. Not like going down the pond chasing bluegills or tommy cats. This shark, swallow you whole. It's bad fish. Bad fish.
He's like, I'll kill your shark, but it's gonna cost you loads of money.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we'll call you Quint. And then he walks out with like his little mate, who's like this guy who's like this like 4 foot guy with a dog, who we never see again, but just seems to just be following Quint around. Maybe he's the guy who carries his... Maybe he was brought in to do that, because Quint's not a very good draftsman.
No.
He can catch a shark, but can he draw one? Can he fuck? So he's like, I'm going to get little Jimmy with his dog, and he's going to come along.
Like, whatever you say, Quint.
Can I have a cracker? Oh, I ate all my crackers. I've got some in the car. Come on. Anyway, so Quint, you know, was like, hello, Chekhov's Quint, I guess we'll see you a little bit later on in the film.
And at this point, I still remember nothing in this film, and I'm like, ooh, I like Quint. Like, he's like an archetype I can get behind. I like, yeah, the way how he introduces himself by saying, you all know me and you know how I make my living. And me as an audience member is like, I do not know you and I do not know how you make your living.
Yeah.
I really hope they explain this. And they don't.
I mean, we get there in the end. This film is kind of like, the dialogue is made up of like, in like, it's like a 50-50 mix of exposition and then just garbled nonsense. Like,
everybody talks at once and they all say,
yeah. We moved here from New York City and you don't like the water. Like, it's like,
they really make a big deal about how Chief Brody is scared of the water because he supposedly almost drowned, but like, it really doesn't actually factor into the plot very much, because then when he actually has to get on a boat, he just does.
Yeah, he kind of, yeah, just gets on with it.
He just does.
Yeah. In fact, the first time you see him on a boat, he's like, kind of like, oh, I can't get on this boat. And it's like, yeah, of course you can, you're pissed. And he's like, yeah, of course. And then he's like drunk, he's blind drunk on a boat. After like this whole thing with Quint being introduced, we get introduced to another little helper, who is Hooper, played by
Beardy Dreyfus.
Beardy Dreyfus. And he's from like the Oceanographic Sharkological Society. He's called in as like a sharky expert to help them, you know, solve sharky things. He shows up looking like a total fucking hipster from 2018. He's like head to toe faded denim and like a, you know, scruffy beanie hat and like a shaggy beard. And he shows up, and the goons who've gone out on a shark hunt, they come back with a shark, and he's like, that's not the shark. Like, the size of this shark doesn't match the wounds on the young girl that got attacked by the shark. So, you know, he's taking names, he's kicking ass, he's like, he's very invested in the sharky business of the town. And Hooper is
Brody,
he's really pleased to see him, and they kind of have a bit of like a bit of a bromance kind of goes on.
So there's a really nice scene actually when Beardy Dreyfus, Hooper, like turns up at Brody's house with a bottle of wine, I think kind of like vaguely uninvited, and they sort of sit down for dinner. And this really, really reminded me of a scene in David Fincher's Seven.
Oh, yeah.
Where Brad Pitt's character's wife, played by Gwyneth Paltrow,
mm-hmm.
Invites Morgan Freeman over for dinner. And they have this kind of like slightly awkward getting to know you dinner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The two colleagues and the wife. And then there's some like uncomfortable home truths revealed. And then it increases their bond for working together. I genuinely, genuinely think that that scene was in part inspired by this scene in Jaws. There's so many parallels.
Okay, interesting. See, in watching like a lot of these scenes, I recently, before we watched this film, listened to the audiobook of Jaws. And
was it just loads of people going,
yeah, pretty much.
And then Brody said,
did a shark over there? No, close, but like, so there's like some quite significant like changes or like things that like have been taken out of of it, and like this bit, the whole Brody Hooper friendship is quite a big change, because like a big thing in this in the book is that Brody and his wife have not moved from New York. The deal is that Brody is an islander. He was like born on the island, and that people on the island don't have a lot of money. They're quite working class and they make all their money when rich people move in, and that his wife was very wealthy. And then so she kind of married down, and there's a lot of like things about in there about like class, about like, you know, like the out of towners and the people who were there the whole time. And Brody's kind of like understands like the plight of the town a bit more. He's a bit more kind of understanding why they need to keep the beaches open, but he still doesn't want to do it. Then this whole class thing. But then Hooper shows up, and he in the film says like he's from money. And there's this whole bit in the book about where Hooper has an affair with Brody's wife.
Whoa!
Like Brody's wife like meets him or like invites him over for dinner, and then she's kind of like, she calls him up at his hotel room and is like, oh, do you want to meet me for like lunch later on today? She goes out to meet Hooper, and like there's this whole thing about like her planning out, like, you know, like taking a change of clothes and sneaking out from work early, pretending to be ill so that no one knows. And then like they go to like this posh restaurant, and it gets really fucked up because they start talking about fantasies, and you know, it's like, oh, why don't we make a fantasy now or something. Like, oh, tell me about your fantasies. And so basically, Brody's wife in the book, there's this whole bit where she talks about having a rape fantasy.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's fucked up, man. Like, I was just like, you know, just like on the train listening to this on audiobook. And I was like, oh no. Oh no. And it's really fucked up.
So thank you for telling me that, because that's definitely not coloured my really nice memory of my dad reading these books on holiday.
Yet, sorry.
So no, I really appreciate that. That's great.
Yeah, cool.
I'll file that away somewhere.
Sorry.
What do you think Peter Benchley's intention was when he included this plot element? Does it like factor into the later part of the story?
So the whole thing is that later, well, yeah, like, The whole thing about it being a rape fantasy is just completely fucked up. But, like, the whole thing about the affair is that when it's the three guys out on the boat, there's this whole thing that Brody has kind of, he doesn't like Hooper, and he doesn't quite know why, and then he kind of figures out that he's had an affair with his wife. And so, you know, they're trapped on the boat, and it's like the tensions are flying, which is very different from how it is in the film.
That would have added so much to that part of the film, which is where I thought things really dragged.
Yeah.
Like when it's just them on a boat, like chatting and being mates and waiting for this shark to show up, which it kind of does a bit towards the end. A bit of like cabin fever and tension would have really, really ramped things up.
Yeah, because all the cabin fever comes from basically them being like, oh, Quint is crazy and we're stuck on a boat with a crazy, like, you know, with like a real Ahab kind of chasing his white whale kind of guy, and he's going to kill us all trying to do it. But yeah, that would have been, yeah, that would have added a bit of something. But, you know, I guess that they didn't have time to set up like this whole big affair thing, and, you know, took out the unsavory elements of that. So, you know, I'm pleased with that. Just another side thing of like stories that like things in the book that just kind of aren't in this that kind of go nowhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, got the mayor, you got the evil town mayor who wants the beaches open.
I hate him so much.
In the book, he wants to keep the beaches open relentlessly because he's kind of in deep with the mob and owes the mob money.
That makes more sense.
Like he's like desperate to do it because he owes the mob money. But then the thing is, it goes nowhere. Like that, like Brody finds out, but he can't really do anything about it. And then at the end, like the mayor shows up to see Brody's wife and is kind of like, "I'm going away now. I need to go." And I was like, "Oh God, we're gonna find out later on that he's gone and killed himself." And then it's like, "No, he's just
he literally did just
he's
go
just
away.
He's just got he's like I've going away with this plot, with this plot line.
My home planet needs me.
Yeah, basically. Basically, like, the author doesn't really know where to go with this plot anymore, so I'm just taking it away. So anyway, Hooper's here, and he doesn't have an affair with Brody's wife.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. So yeah, we do get a cool bit with Hooper. They like do an autopsy on the shark. It's full of milk and tin cans. And they're like, there's no little boy in there, so it's definitely not the shark.
Then it's the 4th of July weekend.
Oh no, the regatta is here, the regatta.
And the music. Okay, the score in this film, the Jaws score, the theme that you know. It's got, like, you know, it is like a slashery kind of theme. It builds tension. But then at any other moment in the film when, you know, there's that not the shark, it's just so fucking upbeat. It's bananas.
It's mental. It's mental. It's like music from a Carry-On film. There is more dramatic music in some of the Police Academy movies than there is in literally any scene of Jaws other than the famous theme, which is amazing. It's just, it's as if it's done, it's as if it's from a completely different film.
Yeah, it's very weird. So you get this like really jaunty scene of like all the holidaymakers showing up for the 4th of July weekend.
And this scene, there was so much potential to play this with real, like, underlying menace, like all these hordes of rich people turning up on the beach, presumably to their doom. You know, a little bit of dark underscoring would have really, like, set that off. But no, instead they're like, it's dumb. It's dumb, man. Didn't like it.
There is an amazing bit where, like, everyone's out, everyone's having a great time, they're making loads of money, but no one's going in the water. And the mayor comes along and says to one of his mates, why aren't you in the water? Get in the water. It's like, everyone's here, everyone's having a good time, people are spending money, they can't spend money in the water. Like, you've already won. But but there's this amazing bit where he just like makes this guy go in the water, and he gets up and like nods to his wife and is like, we've got to go and get in the water. And she gets up really forlornly, and they both go and just like grab their children and just like walk in a straight line, you know, like all of them into the waters. If like, well, come on, children, we've lived our lives, but the mayor has decided that we must die.
It's then, so dark. And then time for bed, children.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's like that bit in Titanic where the old couple just kind of like lie down on the bed and accept their fate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then everyone's like, oh, brilliant, let's all go in the water, let's all die, that's brilliant. And then you get this a shark fin. People see a shark fin and people start freaking out. And then you just get this amazing scene of chaos where people are like running out of, trying to get out of the water as fast as they can. They're trampling over old people. There's like this woman like clutching her child, just wailing, just being like, no, it's the children, think of the children. There are people throwing kids out the way to save themselves. It's kind of like, it's quite brutal because it's just like people trampling each other. People die. I'm sure that people die. But it's also kind of comical. And it turns out it was just like a couple of kids.
Yeah, with a cardboard fin.
Little dickheads.
They nearly get shot by like Beardy Dreyfus.
Yeah. But then while all this is going, real Jaws the shark sneaks up and tries to kill Brody's oldest son.
I've just realised something. Oh no, I've just realised something that I've also now realised that doesn't make any sense. I was about to say, you remember the kids' cartoon Sharky and George?
Yes.
Was George called George because it sounds a bit like Jaws, but then I remembered he wasn't a shark, so Sharky was the shark.
Yeah. They should have just called that show Sharky and Shark.
Sharks of the Sea.
Yeah. Two sharks and a hat. Yeah, so
when when real Sharky Shark rocks up, there's this fucking banging fake leg, man. This
some severed dude gets
leg.
Eaten.
Oh, mwah,
anonymous
this
fake guy,
leg.
Yeah, anonymous guy in a boat gets eaten. Fake leg like floats around. Good stuff. And then, well, this is what like all that the mayor needs now to see, like, oh, you know, that bit where the young boy got murdered and everyone saw it, that was, you know, that was okay. But now this has happened, we'd better pay Quint his money. So now it's like Quint, Brody and Hooper, bunch of lads on a boat on a shark hunt. Welcome to the next hour of the film.
Yeah. Well, that's it. And it had set up so nicely for me. And I'm like, I am ready to see where this goes. Oh, there can't be more than 20 minutes tops left. But no, it is an hour. And interestingly, like I said, around this point, I was starting to think, well, there have been so many like really iconic deaths here already. Maybe I haven't seen this film. Maybe it's one of the sequels I've seen and I was wrong. And then at this exact point that I was thinking it, something happened that I remembered.
Okay.
And weirdly, it was, I remembered the scene exactly, but I thought it was from Dawn of the Dead, George Romero's Dawn of the Dead for some reason. And it's just Quint offering a shot to another character. And then he says, "Here's to swimming with bow-legged women." And for some reason, that's the only bit of the entire film that I remembered.
Weird bit to remember.
I know, but there's this old, like, beardy drunk guy in Dawn of the Dead, and I thought he says it. Maybe he says it too. Listeners, if you're aware of any other films where characters say, "Here's to swimming with bow-legged women," let me know.
Okay. I mean, yes, it kind of all slows down a bit in this bit of the film, but, like, Quint is basically amazing in it. Like, he gets more and more kind of drunk and insane, and is a lot of fun to watch. Like, the film becomes far less intelligible. It, like, really does just become drunk and slurring.
It's them drinking, it's them tying knots, it's them... it's one of the things that I started counting mentally in my head is every time a shot cuts to one of the three characters, they start the shot by, like, getting up from their chair, but they're always getting up from chair. Like, it just cuts a bit in a three-way conversation back and forth, and it's like they're constantly standing up and sitting down all of the time. And very little happens. They tie some knots around some barrels, they tie some knots around some harpoons.
Well, the shark pops up every now and then, and they'll, like, shoot it with a harpoon, which is, like, tied to a barrel to kind of stop the shark being able to swim deep. But, like, you know, the shark is toying with them. You get the immortal line, "Quint, this boat is not big enough." That's good.
And it's such an iconic line. I understand why that sticks in people's minds.
Yeah.
Because it's true. "Quint, the boat is not big enough."
Well, he says it twice. He says the line twice, you know, because he's really trying to, like, you know, like, embed his catchphrase in the public consciousness.
And that's why it's lodged so clearly with us.
Yeah, exactly. But it all kind of escalates eventually to, like, basically they end up getting more and more fucked. Like, the shark, like, will come and, like, start kicking the shit out of the boat so it starts to leak a bit, and then it'll fuck them up a bit more, and, like, it'll pull hooks out that they've got all the ropes tied to and all this stuff, and then they're trying to chase it and they'll end up overloading the motor. So there's this bit where, like, they're just kind of like, oh no, Quint's gone inside. Quint destroys the radio for some reason.
For no reason.
Yeah.
And there's also a bit where he like, the shark is attacking and he stops to answer the phone, and I think it's Brody's wife, and he lies to her for no reason, and it's just like, ah, there's nothing going on here.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh yeah, the shark is attacking, and Quint has the time to kind of, like, assemble, like, an IKEA gun and, like, also take phone calls while the other two are, like, running around like fucking headless chickens. But, like, what happens eventually is they get to the point that the boat is, like, it's like in a slasher thing where there's no way of reaching the outside world. They're just stuck on this boat. And, like, there's, like, some nice... There is nice tension to it. Like, it's quite slow paced, but there's, like, some nice tense moments. And then what happens in, like, the final fight? So the boat, the engine blows... And then Hooper's like, well, it seems like the best thing I could possibly do is get in a shark cage right now.
Right? We've got an invincible shark. It's tied to our boat. I'm just going to go down there in this big shark cage.
And try and stab it with a poison harpoon.
And just poke it with a stick.
Yeah. And then instantly the shark comes out and goes, bleh! Yeah. And he drops the stick.
Like, oh no, turns out the shark didn't like it when I poked it with a stick.
Yeah. Nearly kills him, and he kind of swims off, and you're not really sure if he's survived. In the book, he dies.
Does he?
In the book, he dies, and so then Brody's kind of like, I feel bad, but not that bad. Fuck him, he's a dickhead. Yeah. So then it's just Brody and Quint on the boat, and now, like, basically the back of the boat has been destroyed. It's sinking. Like they're in a tight spot, as it were.
Yeah, and then the shark like eats the back end of the boat.
And eats Quint.
Eats
and
Quint.
It's brutal.
Oh my god, this bit is full on.
Yeah, like this is one of the things that like I remember watching the film when I was like 8 years old. It was like Quint's death because he gets bitten into and all this blood starts pouring out of his mouth. I was like, when I was eight, I was kind of cool. I was pretty cool with this. And I'm just like here watching it now. Like there's a bit where you just see his face, his reaction. You hear this crunch and you're like, oh, that's him in half. That's how he's dead now. He's properly dead. And it's just like, oh, it's pretty raw.
They handle it really lightly. So like, I think Quint's supposed to be, he's a very like, for most of the movie, he doesn't have a lot of emotional depth. He's just like the guy that drinks apricot brandy.
Yeah.
He likes swimming between bow-legged women's legs.
Yeah.
That's his niche. And he likes telling people that they're idiots and that they know what he does for a living, but not explaining it.
Yeah.
Except for this really long scene where they all get drunk together and he tells this like garbled, unintelligible story about him being in the water and his men getting eaten by sharks. I think there's like whole lines where me and Tom were just looking at each other and being like, what did he say?
Noon the fifth day, Mr. Hooper, Lockheed Ventura. So he swung in low and he saw us, Steve, a young pilot, a lot younger than Mr. Hooper anyway. He saw us and he come in low, and 3 hours later, a big fat PBY comes down and start to pick us up.
So, I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel.
It just makes no sense. And so when they eat him, sorry, when Jaws the shark eats him, and the shark is called Jaws,
yeah.
then we're kind of like, okay, or is it what he would have wanted? I don't know. And then, like, seconds later, fucking Brody blows up the shark with, like, a bit of compressed air.
That keeps on popping up throughout the film. They keep going, for God's sake, stop dropping the compressed air. If this thing blows up, it'll blow up. And they keep on doing that. Like, so are you trying to tell me that this might be important later on in the film? No, it's just compressed air. It might blow up if something was to shoot it. If it was in the mouth of a big animal, I don't know, fish maybe. they're like, yeah, like Brody is like on the boat on his own, and this is the bit where you'd be like, oh man, Brody's gonna be fucking shitting it because he doesn't like boats, but he's just kind of
doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm gonna go so far as to say don't faze him.
He's like, yeah, the shark pops up and he's kind of like, here, have this compressed air, you know, don't go blowing that up.
And Jaws the shark is like, oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. And then he like it's like the mast is like the last bit that's like sinking into the sea, and he's like lying on the mast as it goes down. He's desperately trying to shoot this cancer. This is a cool bit. Like, I like the way that this is framed. I like the angles and everything. It's all cool. And like there's a bit when he's like trying to shoot it and he's like talking to himself, and like what, like he has like, when he does shoot it, he has like kind of like his badass line, which is, smile, you son of a, and then it blows up. But before that, he just shouts, oh, blow up!
Which is blow up, damn you! and then Jaws the shark obliges him and does blow up.
And then Hooper pops out of the water and goes, hey, I'm not dead!
Yeah, hey, I'm not dead, I'm Hooper. And then
goes up and goes like, hey, how's Quint? Oh, he's dead.
It's not even like that. It's not even that. He goes, they're just like floating there. They're both laughing. Hooper goes, Quint? And Brody goes, nah. And it doesn't stop smiling, so they do not give a fuck.
Yeah, they're
about
like,
Quint.
It's what he would have wanted.
And then they like,
guess we don't have to pay him now.
They hilariously paddle back, so they can't, like, they just paddle back to shore, and then that's the end of the film. Like, you don't see what happens next. You don't see them get back to shore. Do they even make it? Like,
well, that's how the book ends as well. Like,
what?
In it, Hooper dies and Quint also dies. And so then it's just like, but like the ending of this is better because you kind of realize that like as soon as they get on the boat, it stops being Brody's story. He goes from being like the guy, like in the book, like they have, there's more time to like that. He's got the pressure that the whole town is against him. He can't do the right thing. Like, if he closes the beaches, the town is fucked. If he opens the beaches, people are going to die. And he's just like under so much pressure, and it's like really his struggle. And then he gets on the boat and it's all about Quint. searching for the shark. And on this, you know, like, he's the guy, they don't really make so much of the fact that, like, he's not the seafaring guy. Like, the other two know the sea, but, like, they kind of take over the film. And in the book, like, Quint dies, but he kind of kills the shark. Like, it's a bit where, like, Brody's basically in the water, the shark swims towards him, and then it just gives up and dies before it gets to him.
What?
He doesn't blow it up or anything. Like, he's like, oh no, the shark's coming. And then the shark just kind of stops and sinks down and dies, and then he swims back to shore. And so it's kind of like, so he stops being like the hero of his own story halfway through and doesn't even kind of like save the day. So I think it's much better in this that, like, they actually, you know, like, he is the guy that saves the day. He does, he has to conquer his fear of the sea and sharks and kill the shark.
That is so interesting that that's so different, because I saw in the credits that Peter Benchley, author of the book Jaws the Shark, did co-write the screenplay for this Jaws the Shark as well. So I wonder why he decided to change his own ending.
Well, I mean, if he was like co-writing it, maybe some people were like, you know, let's make this more cinematic. Like, it's not a big ending for Brody in the book, and he kind of needs that, you know, it's got a bit more action to it. There's some like guns, there's some explosions and stuff like that, which is all, you know, people like that stuff in the pictures, the movies.
And that's Jaws, guys.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing that isn't in this that is in the book that is quite important. There is a bit where the shark jumps out of the water and they see the shark's dong.
And, oh my goodness.
And Quint says, "I can see your cock, you bastard." And it's described by Peter Benchley as salami-like. I don't know why Steven Spielberg didn't put that in the film.
Well, you know,
Director's cut.
They did supposedly have a lot of problems with their animatronic shark, and they probably just couldn't get the pistons on the salami dong to properly... Salami-like is weird. They come in a lot of different shapes and sizes.
It had like a peppery crust around it.
Yeah, narrow it down for me.
Anyway, that's Jaws. I mean, I think it's a good movie.
Good movie.
Obviously, the shark looks goofy. Like, you know, that's dated, but I think it's all right. Because, like, there is not a lot of... You don't see a lot of the shark anyway, so you can kind of, like, the bits when the shark pops out, you can kind of forgive it. And, like, you know, the bit where you've got this, like, goofy rubber shark killing Quint, you're not looking at thinking, oh, what a goofy shark. You're thinking, like, fuck, this guy's death is brutal.
I could have seen less of the shark, even, because it's very Muppety.
I mean, I wonder if, like, because they had the problems with all the animatronics, that, like, there would have been more shark in the original vision for the film.
So I have been told.
Well, I think they were lucky. They were lucky then. Because, again, also, like, if that film was made today, the shark would be CGI and you'd see fucking shitloads of it. So I think they were kind of... The limitations of the time really helped with this picture.
Yeah.
So, cool. I mean, that's Jaws. What we got now? Jaws 2.
Two Jaws, Too Furious.
Like, what's it going to be, Todd? How's that going to work? Are the bits of the exploded shark going to reform like the T-1000?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, it's definitely going to have to be just another shark.
Yeah.
I have no idea if there's going to be any recurring characters. You indicated to me...
I feel Brody will be back.
You think Brody's coming back?
I don't think we're going to get Hooper. But okay. That's just my guesswork. But, like, I'm imagining it's going to be the kind of the same movie.
Yeah, and I don't mind it sometimes when, like, sequels are basically just the first one again. Like, that works. Because quite often, not all the time, guys, obviously, but quite often, they actually do manage to do it slightly better the second time. I'm thinking of, like, Friday the 13th, where I think I prefer part two to part one.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Not always. I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 is a
very different kettle of fish. Yeah.
So I'm kind of open to another go round, the merry-go-round. I would like the edit to be a bit tighter.
Yeah.
I would like it to be a lot more on land and a lot less on a boat.
I'm feeling that, like, we'll probably really feel the... Because I don't think Spielberg does the second one.
I'm sure.
So I think we'll really feel that, because I haven't watched a Spielberg film in a really long time, and I think actually, like, you know, a lot of, like, the, you know, like, the editing and, like, the, like, how this was shot was really, you know, really good and, like, really elevated what was, could have been, you know, is a schlocky picture. But there's a reason why it's kind of endured, whereas Jaws 2 might be a little bit more budget.
Yeah, I the main thing I'm interested in is Benchley involved? Is there a second Jaws book?
I don't think so.
Because I know he wrote
Jaws's.
He wrote more than one book about sharks. I know that.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. So tune in next time, folks, for that. Haven't said that in a while, because we're back.
We are back. And doesn't it feel good to be back, Tom?
It does feel good.
It feels so good. And I hope it feels good for you guys listening. Thank you so much for being patient with us. It's a delight to be back watching movies for you. Also, Tom, worth mentioning, this is the first time we've watched a film together since, I think, the first Child's Play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We went through a phase of having to watch them apart from one another.
This was nice.
It was nice.
This was nice.
It was nice. And it's been nice chatting to you guys. So if you want to drop us a line, let us know what you think. You know, get in touch. Just say, yo, tell us what's happened to you in the last year. You can find us on Twitter at Bitter End Pod or on Facebook at Bitter End Pod.
Yeah. I'm Tom Denny.
I'm Todd Jordan. Wishing you... Boom shakalaka.